It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasin. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasin.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. It is becoming more and more difficult to manage your life these days in this country. What a crazy week we had. Carrie Kasin is here with me to try and manage your life as well, but I don't think anyone can manage anyone's life.
I'm trying to manage our social media here and trying to get us on our Instagram and Facebook
yes,
right now. Live.
That's what's most important.
That's the most important
Forget
thing.
Forget about what's going on with the Kavanaugh hearings. Forget about Cosby being sentenced. Forget about the big decision on the Uber case
Forget
this week,
it.
The stuff we're going to talk about today. Let's just talk about social media, getting us out on social media.
Life.
That's what's really important.
More people important. Listen to us, Alan. More people.
Yeah, but, you know, come on. We have to talk about the substance, what really happened. I mean, you're so busy. You're traveling like to Lake Havasu or somewhere, just going and you're
Parker.
Where Parker. Is that? You're like this like trashy person.
It is white trash. It is. I'm just
well,
gonna
that's
admit
not
it.
Nice to say.
It's
wait
white trash fun.
But that's what you are.
White trash fun. No, look.
You are.
You know what? I don't know if I'm white trash. Most people probably wouldn't consider me white trash. Even Dino.
Well,
I don't
they
think.
Don't consider. But it's how you consider yourself.
I can be white trash.
You are.
Oh, you know what? I ride my motorcycle and we shoot
and you got
guns
your
out
guns
there.
And
oh,
your,
we got our guns.
And you're sitting there with your
wakeboarding
tatted boyfriend.
That's right, completely tatted, which is the weirdest thing in the world for me. And I've never dated a tatted person. I've had one with like one or two tattoos or something hidden, but actually tatted up is weird for me. Yeah.
But you're into it.
You know, he's awesome. He's a really awesome guy. So, yeah.
And he's part of the trash out there that
you go and
hang out and you're four-wheeling.
You gotta come.
Yeah, right.
You'd have so much fun, Alan.
I don't think I would survive that. Bring my little kids. We're busy going to like Rams football games. And I'm taking my kids through the tailgating for the Vikings.
No.
And they're seeing everyone's drinking and eating and my kids'
That's
whose eyes are wide
That's more white
trash
than what we do.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's football.
Yeah.
Football
yeah,
isn't
no,
white
no,
trash.
No, trash.
I think it's really offensive to call someone white trash. So
you know what? I'm not calling anyone white trash. I'm saying we're having a white trash weekend.
Well,
I'm considering myself part of that.
There's so many offensive things going on this week, and you know we have to talk about it because lots happened. What did you think? Are you a big fan of Brett Kavanaugh?
I'm not a fan of this whole thing. I have to say, I'm just not a fan of the whole thing. And I'm not saying that Miss Blakely, Dr. Blakely, or
I think her name's Dr. Ford, but go ahead.
Yeah, Ford, but isn't it Blakely Ford? Something like
whatever.
That. Whatever.
Not Blakely.
No, seriously. What is it?
I think you've been drinking too many beer out there with your white trash friends.
The one you gave me.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I think that, Miss Ford.
Doctor. And of course, they put that on there because it gives her more status.
More credibility, yeah.
Well, you know.
So I'm just saying, look, I don't think she's lying. But I just think it's very odd that she would come out right at this time. Why hasn't she come out before? Why, when he was a judge, a successful judge, did she not come out and say something? You know, I feel like there's a witch hunt on the part of the Democrats, very much so. I don't want to discredit this woman and say it didn't happen. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. All I know is that this is a really, it's the wrong timing
My
for me.
My problem is I've been really thinking about things that happened 30 years ago. I'm about the same age as these folks here. We're talking about Kavanaugh and Ford. And I'm trying so hard every day these days thinking about if I can remember details of what happened. And sometimes I'm finding that I've created over the years stories, and I don't even know if they're true anymore because I've told them so many times or I haven't told them. And I don't know what's true. And it's really scary that I can't really recreate what happened 30 years ago. So that's the problem. I mean, as far as Brett Kavanaugh goes, I think he's way, way too political to be on the Supreme Court. But, you know, the whole Supreme Court is a political body.
It is now.
Other than that, you know, and other than what he said, I just have so many problems trying to recreate my life. And I just wonder if everyone can do that with some credibility and validity, not to take away from things that did or did not happen. But anyway.
And when it's blasé. Because I'm like sitting here going, Blakely,
well,
I'm thinking,
I find your discussion blasé.
Blasé, Mort.
Here we go. I need to talk to someone who's an authority in this area. And we got to bring, by the way, later on, we're going to talk to Arthur Schwartz, who's an attorney in New York. He's also got a radio show called Advocating for Justice. He's going to talk about the decision, the Uber decision, for those of you who missed it. It came down O'Connor versus Uber, and it basically addresses the classification of drivers, whether they're employees or independent contractors. It doesn't specifically address it. It talks about class actions and whether the drivers can sue as a class, which they can't. It has a lot of implications on a lot of people for Uber drivers, and it's in contrast to the Supreme Court decision in California, the Dynamics decision that came out earlier this year that redefined what employees are in this state anyway. And so we're going to talk to Arthur Schwartz about that and how it changes the terrain of Uber, their company, and the drivers. But let's talk about all of the excitement this week. And we have an expert to talk about this. You know, I love what Ann Bremner said. She said, I see legal commentary as valuable in educating the public. And that's very true. This is how we get educated. Ann Bremner has been an analyst on every media outlet you can think of, Fox, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Bloomberg, TV, blah, 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 CNN, Grace. She just doesn't stop. And, you know, we're fortunate that she took the time out of her busy schedule today. She is a former prosecuting attorney in the criminal division of the King County Prosecutor's Office in Seattle. So she knows her stuff. She's a civil rights attorney, a victims rights attorney, a women's rights attorney, and every other rights you can think of. But she knows these cases. And welcome back to Gervie's Law.
It's always a pleasure, and thanks for that great introduction.
Well, I always give you a great introduction. I don't think it's fair.
I know, you're me.
All right, let's get right down to Kavanaugh first, because we're going to talk about Cosby as well, and I know you've been all over the airwaves talking about this. We have this situation going on, and now we have a week where apparently the FBI is going to do an investigation. I have to ask you, as a former prosecuting attorney, don't you always look, especially in sex crimes, aren't you really looking for evidence? I'm a hardcore lawyer. I'm really focused on evidence. I'm not into her hyperbole. I'm not into rhetoric. You know, I understand there's he said, she said, but I'm really looking for evidence. How are they going to find any kind of evidence when we kind of know what's out there, I think, with respect to what might have happened 30 years ago, which is about five or six people who have something to say about it?
Well, exactly. And the thing is, and I used to prosecute sex crimes, and I've represented victims in sexual assault cases. But, you know, if we knew this at the time, and if she had said something at the time, then you could look at her school records. You could look at how did she act around her friends? Was she different? You know, was there, you know, is there any kind of physical evidence? You know, all those kinds of things that you put together in a case. But today, you've got kind of anecdotal information from people saying, I don't remember, or, you know, like Mark Judge, a friend of Kavanaugh's, you know, or her, you know, her friend saying she's a good person. I would believe her, you know, she's honest. So that's not all that helpful. And finally, I look at this and I think with the FBI, I don't remember them investigating sex assault cases over the years. In fact, they only do them on Native American reservations or things like that. That's really not their forte or within their wheelhouse, you know, so it's just, what are they going to get this week? You're right. I mean, there might be a few witness accounts here or there. I'm sure we're going to hear all about it, but I don't think it'll really be all that helpful unless there's something more ancillary, and that's on the drinking issue and that whole theory out there that he drank so much back then he probably blacked out and didn't remember.
I just don't understand why it came out now. And I just don't understand it. That's what and especially since the Democrats said, we're going to do everything, you know, we're not going to vote on this. We're going to do everything to stop this. And then boom, she shows up. And I don't want to say it's not true. Cause it could have been,
right.
You know, but to, I mean, this man has had a career. He was a judge. This guy is why now? That's what I don't understand. Why now?
Well, Anne, you can answer it, but I think, you know, there is a question of politics here, too. And I want to know, it's a good question, Carrie, and do you think that it's motivated only by a last-ditch effort by those who do not want to see the Supreme Court take a turn for what they believe will be probably a lot of limitation on individual rights?
Right, especially focusing on Roe versus Wade from 1973 and taking the spot of the, you know, the swing vote. Yeah, I watched, I know we all watched on Thursday, and I thought she was an excellent witness, and I don't think I'm alone in that.
Right.
On the other hand, and she said she came forward out of basically a civil obligation, she felt, to come forward about a real flaw in this individual that she felt should not have a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, and so she felt duty-bound to do that. On the other hand, you know, you've got the whole issue of timing when he's been a judge for that long. He's been in the D.C. Circuit, appellate judge, federal, for a long time. And I think that was known to Ms. or Dr. Ford. But
right.
She surprised me. I kept thinking this is political. I had a lot of those kind of concerns. And I think she was authentic. I thought she was reasonable. I thought she seemed to have, you know, adequate detail. And her demeanor and comportment was appropriate. So those were things that I looked at, and at the end of the day, she said, I'm 100% sure it was Kavanaugh, and then Kavanaugh comes out and says, I'm 100% sure it didn't happen.
You know, we have to take a break, but I want to ask you a quick question. You know, you prosecuted sex crimes. Do you ever look at the degree of what the allegations are? Not to say that Kavanaugh was a good guy, because from all accounts, not all accounts, because there are people who are supporting, but he seemed like, you know, hey, he was entitled, or at least felt entitled to drink a bit. Whether he drank a lot or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. But do you look at the degree for a job like this, if he... You know, if he raped someone, if he was really abusive in a way that hurt someone forever, is that something that should go into this, or should we look at just what the facts are?
You know, I think we can look at everything now, and especially with the internet and 24/7 news, you know, that we're going to look at everything on an individual. I mean, there's nothing that we won't look at. It's a question of character. And a question of how he would be on these kinds of cases. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, sexual assault, I mean, it's always, the damages are lifelong for every victim, no matter how serious or minor, so to speak, the charge. That's one way to look at it. But the other part of it is, this would not have been a felony, and it was not a rape. But I don't know that that matters in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, well, I think that answers the question. I think the character issue is really an important one. The Rocky sound here, I'm not sure what that really means, but I think it does mean we had to take a break. I hope it's not symbolic of what we're talking about. All right, we're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be back with Ann Bremner after the break.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Have you tried that trendy new dating app? You can have months of frivolous fun with people who just love to play games. But if you're ready for something more grown-up, try the Match app. Over 30,000 new people a day are heading to Match for grown-up conversations that lead to great dates and beyond. Our listeners that go to Match.com/mix will get 7 days free. 7 days to view photos and informative profiles to get a deeper sense of the people you'd like to meet. This free offer is only at Match.com/mix. That's Match.com/mix.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
You know what really stinks? When stinky odors cling to your clothes. Ever leave sweaty clothes in a gym bag overnight?
Oof.
Or reach for that bath towel that's not quite as clean as it looks? Fortunately, there's Arm & Hammer Plus OxiClean with Odor Blasters detergent. It eliminates tough odors and blasts away the oof, leaving nothing but try Odor Blasters from the odor control experts at Arm & Hammer. The clean you need at a fraction of the cost. Per load versus the leading detergent.
All right, we're back. Didn't have a little lead in there, so I'll do it. Carrie, you want to do it with me?
Sure.
The half, what is it? The glass is always
half full.
Been hearing that for 5 years. The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervy's Law. Well, the glass is empty right now. We're talking to Anne Bremner. She is a superstar TV legal analyst and, of course, former prosecuting attorney. She knows her stuff, and she's a trial attorney and been on the show quite a few times, has some really great insight. Anne, I want to talk to you about actually seeing his performance. And this has been commented on when I say his, I'm talking about, of course, Kavanaugh. And I'm going to be a little more respectful and call him Brett Kavanaugh, where, who was it, Lindsey
Graham?
You're
not going to get her name wrong?
Who was the one that said Sotomayor and Kagan when he was making a comment?
Was it Graham?
No, it wasn't. Who was it? Anyway, someone made a comment on the Senate floor and saying, Sotomayor and Kagan, just call them justices. But anyway, and when we're watching this, do you think that his demeanor hurt him? If he does get confirmed and if there's a vote in his favor, however slight, do you think people will think that he is way too political when he started talking? He mentions the Clintons by name, left-wing conspiracy, he said. I, for one, would like to see a judge. You're an attorney. I'm an attorney. I don't like to hear a judge talking like that, and it kind of concerns me about the Supreme Court, even though I think we all know the Supreme Court is a political body on some level.
Right. I mean, I think it's very clear that that's a concern. And I was just reading the New York Times today. They had a whole piece, dissecting his testimony in terms of what was misleading or what was inappropriate, and also how political it was, and criticizing his demeanor. But, I think he was really directing himself to an audience of one, and that was President Trump. And I think he was told to come out swinging. He was different, completely different from the Fox interview that he did with Martha McCallum.
Yeah.
And he came out swinging. He was completely indignant. And, when he talked about his daughter, and her saying, I'm going to pray for Dr. Ford, and he got teary, I mean, that meant something. I mean, he was the way you should be. If you're saying, I didn't do this, you're trying to ruin my family, and, have you no decency, like was stated in the McCarthy hearing. I mean, that he's basically saying, I am innocent. I mean, that was so weird to see a nominee, in this hearing. Basically, we have him saying, I'm innocent. It's like, oh my gosh, we've never seen a hearing like this before.
Well, my roommate, who's a crime reporter, Melissa McCarthy, she does a lot of this. She sees a lot of guilty people. She said, it was too much for me. For me, it was very honest. For me, it was like, I would be that angry if somebody accused me of something I didn't do. I would be on the verge of tears. I mean, his name is ruined for life. You know, whether people believe him or not, there will always be that hanging over him. And, I would be upset. But she said, she's like, it just was too much for me. Like, what are you talking about? It's too much for you. The guy's upset. Well, if he's going to be a Supreme Court justice, he shouldn't have this much emotion. And I don't understand that. So everybody looked at it differently. But I agree with you, Anne. I think it was very honest.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
I
was very honest.
Go ahead, Anne. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I represented the judge, and it went all the way to our state Supreme Court, on issues of demeanor and how she was on the bench. Her name was Judge Judy, not the real Judge Judy.
Right.
But, I know, it's like, wow. But, and we basically went through all the law, which is, judge, as long as they're not discriminatory or acting in any kind of unlawful way, the demeanor, if it's just demeanor, is not enough to remove a judge or not enough to discipline a judge. And I think, in the Supreme Court, they don't have a lot of demeanor issues up there. I mean, they're just sitting and listening and asking some questions.
Right. And we can remember a short time ago when Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually came out and said something against President Trump, later apologized. So I think it goes on both sides. And, you know, when you talk about Merrick Garland, who a lot of people feel should be on the court and wasn't given a fair shot. So you have to wonder, it's going both ways. You know, with the Republicans, they're so upset about what they believe maybe the Democrats are putting doing with this hearing and the FBI investigation. But let's not forget what happened last year with Merrick Garland, who, by all accounts, didn't even get an opportunity to show that he was an abuser back in high school.
Right. And I think nothing in nature could be sliced so thin that it doesn't have two sides. You know, that's a lot of what we do in this business, right? I mean, you look at two sides of disputes. And this one was heard in a very upsetting way. I mean, I think that two lives got ruined on Thursday, frankly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And interestingly, sitting behind Judge Kavanaugh when he was doing his talk was Alyssa Milano. Who is a big proponent. I don't know why you're saying me too. Right now, as we speak.
That was like five different things in about 2 seconds.
She's involved in Me Too. She happens to be right now with my daughter, Harp. She's her daughter,
Bella. What are you talking about?
Her daughter, Bella, is on my daughter, Harper's baseball team.
Okay, I loved Alyssa Milano.
Isn't that crazy?
I watched that.
So she, right now, I'm missing Harper's game, and Bella, Alyssa's daughter, is there. And I feel like it's a privilege to talk to Ann Bremmer, but I would also like to be talking to Alyssa Milano at the baseball field, sitting in the stands as she's watching Bella, and find out, you know, what exactly.
Yeah, you can go. I'll take over. Ann and I will just do the show. You go ahead. I didn't like Alyssa Milano being there. I didn't like Alyssa Milano in the back with her phone just taking pictures.
Everybody's watching this, lady. Yeah.
You don't need to be putting this on your... Everyone is watching this. You know, and I felt like she came there, and there was no way this guy could be innocent in her eyes. No way. You know, and I have to say, I'm not going to say who, but some people in my family and their kids, because of what their parents think, are now, and they're very young, tweeting about Kavanaugh. I'm like, you don't know who this man is. You don't know what these allegations are. You don't know who Ford is. And for you to like just annihilate this guy when you're very, very young and you don't know what you're talking about bothers me.
I'll tell Alyssa. I'm going to rush to the game after this, and I'll go and tell her Carrie Kasem doesn't think you should have been tweeting.
There you go. Neither did the guards, and neither did most of the nation. But yeah,
Ann does neither.
But
yeah,
you know,
there you go.
And I do want to ask you: do you think we're confusing a really important, bigger issue about the Me Too movement with specific facts that may not be representative of what we really should be focusing on with respect to the Me Too movement?
I do. And, you know, what's really bothered me is that it's been off with your head. You know, when we deal with Weinstein, or we deal with someone like Kevin Spacey, like anytime something comes out in the press, the person's gone. I mean, it's just no trial, no due process,
right.
No nothing. And then we get to this, to the judiciary, and we apply it again. And then we try to use it again, like he should just be gone. You know, this should just be enough to disqualify him. And I guess in a good way it is. Maybe it's time we take a look at how we deal with these cases. I think Me Too movement is awesome in terms of empowering women, but we're not victims all the time. And women should be empowered because of who we are, and that we're equal, and that we're talented, and we have the ability and capability to do all kinds of things in this world. We can change the world. But when you come in and use this, you know, as basically a sword, not a shield, against somebody politically who's going to be on the highest court of the nation and his lawyers, you know, I look at this as a lawyer, and it really made me really upset. I've been upset since Thursday. Like, how could this be our system? How could this be our highest court? How could we have done this?
I think
do we have any decency?
I really appreciate saying that, because not a lot of people have come out and talked about, you know, women and why are we not promoting the good and the things, the accomplishments of women in a public forum like this, rather than just focusing on, you know, things that are serious. But they really should, in my view, be in legal courts and, you know, something with evidence. I'm just really into evidence. I don't know why, but it's just so hard for me to accept. Last question on Kavanaugh before we get to Cosby. What is your crystal ball feeling on this? What is going to happen? And I'm not, you know, obviously no one knows. There could be a bombshell that comes out. I don't think there's going to be a bombshell, but what do you see happening by the end of next week, or perhaps later than that?
I think you were absolutely right. We're going to see very little in the investigation, and I think he'll be confirmed. I do think, I had said before, never say never and never say always. He should never have been as in blanket of his denials, because I think we're going to have kind of some side issues about drinking habits or other ancillary issues that were addressed during the hearing. And so you'll see political fighting about that. But I think, you know, he's going to be beaten. He's going to be bruised. And I my heart went out to him. I thought it was really painful. And I kept thinking about his family and his parents that were sitting in there. And my heart went out to her, too. But, you know, we've got to get a better grip on how we handle these kinds of cases. I guess we start with evidence. That's a great place to start. But let's do it the right way, not like this.
And I think that the Me Too movement has helped with that, has helped women come out right away instead of holding it or hiding it and being afraid. But there's also, like you said before, you know, there is no due process. You accuse somebody, and it can be somebody, a woman who nothing happened to, but maybe she got rebuffed. Maybe she, you know, the guy didn't like her. Maybe she feels, you know, anything could happen. And there are women who will do that, and there are men who will lie. They're on both sides.
Well, you know, and I really take offense to saying lying, because I don't know that people outwardly lie. Some do.
Oh, no. There
some
are people
do.
Who
okay.
lie.
But I'm not saying that. I want to give people the benefit of the doubt and say their recollection just isn't as strong.
I'm not talking about her.
You know?
I'm not talking about Ford.
Okay. But I'm just saying
Ford.
That there are certain things that we tend to exaggerate or not exaggerate depending as life passes and goes on. So I think it's something to keep in mind, and we got to take a quick break. You know, we're not gonna solve this today, but I think I agree that he probably will be confirmed. I'm not necessarily thrilled about it, because I would love to see a more centrist, if you would. But politics are where it's at. With Trump was elected, for better or for worse, he can select. That's our system. Our system allows it. And if the votes carry him, then that's what we live by. And, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. And you know, vote someone else in. You know, make that democratic change. All right. We will talk to Ann Bremner about the Cosby sentencing after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive, with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump is hitting the road to try to drum up support for Republican candidates for Congress in five states this week. He makes his first stop in Wheeling, West Virginia today to urge voters to elect a Republican in Democratic Senator Joe Manchin's seat. On Monday, he'll be in Johnson City, Tennessee, then visit South Haven, Mississippi on Tuesday and Rochester, Minnesota on Thursday. The candidates in the race for governor in New York are weighing in on the Senate Supreme Court confirmation process of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Republican Mark Molinaro would not say if Kavanaugh should be approved by the Senate.
This is not a television show. There are real lives that are at stake, and people need to know that we did everything we could to find truth and to make a thoughtful decision.
Molinaro says it's up to the senators in D.C. to decide. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy this afternoon, with highs from the upper 60s at the beaches to the upper 70s inland. More news coming up in 30 minutes. Continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
As realtors, we won't stop until you own the house you've always wanted. But owning the house means owning up to what you really want. So go ahead. Own that these pinewood floors are the closest you'll ever come to camping. Own that you want a foyer, just so you can say, foyer. Own that you want a vegetable garden, even if the only thing that grows there is your sense of inadequacy. It's time to own what you want. So get someone who gets what you want. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, we are back. What's this?
Are you laughing at me?
Choice. No, I mean laughing at the music.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me.
All right, we got to talk about inmate number NN7687, NN7687 now. 3 to 10 years, we hear this week. Anne Bremner, who has been following this story and commented on all the major media outlets. Are we looking at an appeal, or have we heard the last of Bill Cosby?
Oh, we're definitely looking at appeal. We have not heard the last from Bill Cosby. I mean, he's been making all kinds of statements, as have his lawyers, and I think the biggest appellate issue is for him, I think, is the multiple other women that were allowed to testify, you know, the 404B type of evidence, you know, other bad act evidence that came in against him. And he's basically saying that shouldn't have come in, and he didn't have a right, he didn't have a fair trial, and he should not be in prison.
Is that discretionary, or is that something, a legal matter that when you were a prosecutor, you know, you wanted that in and the law said no?
It's completely discretionary. Exactly right. And I always wanted it in because you're showing that this is a pattern, or this is something that they have a propensity for, or basically it's something that shows a lack of mistake, et cetera, under the evidence rules. And the fact is, he's like the Marcus Zorro under that rule. I mean, his acts were always identical. You know, I mean, with 60-plus women, I mean, he did things exactly the same way. I represent one of his victims here in Seattle, and her case is identical. She didn't come forward publicly. She didn't want to. But I got a text from her the minute that sentence came down, and she was thrilled.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know there were a lot of comments. Janice Dickinson said, now how does it feel, or whatever she said. And,
yes.
And, you know, and I know Andrea Constant was thrilled. I think a lot of people felt good about it. It's such a different situation than what we talked about earlier about Kavanaugh, when we're talking about, like you say, Anne, a pattern of behavior and something that really, I don't see how the appeal is ever going to, you know, again, I don't want to second guess, but do you see any validity? I think Cosby's wife, Camille, was saying that the phone recordings were doctored, or, you know, there's so many things. As trial lawyers, I always like to say things that happen, but then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh man, they got me.
I know, that's exactly. I've felt that way many times. And that's what his lawyers should be feeling right now, because, yeah, it's discretionary. I mean, it's like abusive discretion standard that no rational trier of fact would have ruled that way. I mean, they'll never win. And the other part, like doctoring, you know, anything in a case, that's ridiculous. It never happens. And his wife has said some pretty, you know, amazingly strange things in his defense. So, you know, there he sits, and there he's going to sit. And it's amazing that he went to prison after the judge, remember, with the conviction, the judge let him continue out on bail. And I was worried he wouldn't go to prison because the judge said, he's 80 and he's appeared for everything else and he's got adequate bail. And I thought, oh no, now he's not going to sentence Cosby to prison on those kinds of grounds. But he did.
Do you think this appeal is going to go through? I know that you can appeal it, but don't the judges have a right to say, or the appellate court or whatever it may be, no, we've looked through all the evidence. We're not going to accept it.
Absolutely. There can be like a motion on the merits, which is more expedited dismissal of an appeal, but also on the merits, I'm sure the court on appeal is going to say that was discretionary. The trial court did not abuse its discretion, and the case should be affirmed. I cannot imagine this case being reversed. simply cannot imagine. And how many lawyers has he been through now? He had time. One of the best lawyers.
We've had a couple of them on our show. Tom Mesereau. We had him, and he was unceremoniously dumped. And a lot of people say that he screwed up the case. And then there's those other attorneys. We didn't have them on the show, but they want $283,000 that they say they are owed. So
I saw that.
You know, I'm not
sure. Sounds like my stepmother, honestly. Like, she didn't pay half her lawyer. She had 13 cents a lawyers in 1 year. We're going on, I think, 15 or 16 now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and half of them had to sue her because she didn't pay. I don't want to say half. A few of them sued her because she wouldn't pay them. It just sounds like criminal. Like a criminal.
Well, I don't know about that.
I know. You like to always give the other side.
You said you have a client. Now, are you pursuing anything, or are you just helping her out at this time? Because, of course, we have statute of limitations issues on some of these claims. And then, you know, I don't know what you're going to get at this point unless it's a civil case. A criminal case, it looks like he's busy in his cell at the SCI Phoenix Prison in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Yes. And, you know. He's in protective custody as a sexually violent predator, quote unquote. So what about your client?
You know, I think we're done. I think the fact that that's exactly where he is where she's done. I mean, we did meet with some of Gloria Allred's people. Gloria had a number of clients that were abused by Cosby. But my client's from here. She was in L.A. You know, she worked with him. He did the same thing to her, but he dumped her off in a really bad part of town. That's the only difference in her case. And then he gave her money to go to the University of Washington and offered to speak at her graduation up here. And also befriended her parents in Yakima, a small town here in Washington. And so she's watched this very closely all along, thinking, what do I want to do? Do you want to challenge the statute? You know, do you want to do anything like put something out publicly and do what Janice Dickinson did on that defamation case
right. That
gave you a longer statute? And you know what? I just think for her, she had to go through all of this and see him go to prison. And I think that's the period at the end of the sentence for her. He's ruined her life in so many ways. But, you know, she's gotten married recently and she's doing great. And she has a supportive family. And she's just glad to see that he was held accountable finally. Yeah.
And I give a lot of credit to her for that. We haven't had Lisa Bloom, one of your friends, on the show for a while. But she was representing Janice Dickinson on the... the suit, which was an interesting way to get around the statute. And you know, we'll see if she's going to move forward on that. And of course, Gloria Allred has been on quite a few times. And I know Gloria is just like you said, she's just happy that there is seemingly some justice. I don't think that these people will ever get their lives back, but there is some justice with his prison sentence. So we're going to leave. Go ahead and finish up.
No, all I was going to say is Clarence Darrow said there's no justice inside or outside of court. I mean, I just sometimes with my sex abuse victims, you know, how close can you get to justice? You know, and it's a violent crime. You know, families of people that have been affected by violent crime or murder victims in the family, you know, there's not closure, you know, but in many ways, especially with someone like this that was so arrogant and so beloved and so criminal and so vicious and having such a terrible pattern. It was excellent to see him publicly taken down this way, finally.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, and I think that's really such a smart way to put it, and we appreciate that because, you know, people say, oh, they want money, they want this and that, but people just want justice. In the end, a lot of people just want justice, and I think Harvey Weinstein should be next to get his justice.
So.
And as usual, we really appreciate you coming on Gervie's Law today. Your insight is really important to our listeners. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Kavanaugh. Cosby, we can put aside for now. And I'm sure there's unfortunately going to be some other stories that we'll need you here to comment on in the future. And when I say unfortunately, it's not because we don't want to talk to you, but they're usually not good situations.
So, all right. Well, it's been a real honor and a pleasure. I love being on with you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
so good
Anne.
To talk to you.
Take care. Have a good rest of the day, Saturday. Enjoy. We got to switch gears. We got so much going on this week. We also, you know, we're dealing with the Uber case, and that's O'Connor versus Uber. And we want to welcome now quickly because we've got so much going on that we don't have all the time in the world. We wish we did. We're going to bring on Arthur Schwartz. You know, it's interesting because he is a a labor and employment attorney in New York, civil liberties. He has a radio show called Advocating for Justice. He fights for workplace justice and environmental justice, economic justice. At one time, New York Times did a profile on him. They said that he loves to count the ways he can make people miserable. And I guess the Uber case isn't something that he's making people miserable. But Arthur Schwartz, welcome to Gervie's Law.
And thank you for having me. It's great to be on in L.A.
You sound speechless. You sound speechless.
Speechless. Well, I'll tell you something. The court system in the Supreme Court of the United States in the last year has just whacked it to employees. I mean, we probably have one of the most ununionized workforces in the world, of any country in the world. Only 5% of people in the private sector are unionized. About 15% of public employees are unionized. So, and that's a, I think when I was in law school, 40 whatever years ago, the number was like 40% of private sector workers were unionized. So the notion of collective action on the part of union, of workers, of working people, has taken a big hit since 1980, when Reagan fired the air traffic controllers and all of a sudden employers started getting more aggressive towards unions.
What I want to do is I just want to, you know, that's a point well taken, but a lot of people are listening and they're thinking, let's talk about the O'Connor case versus Uber.
Right, so, well, it's in that context. It's really in that context.
But it isn't. I just want to ask you, because I'm not sure it is in the context, because they talk about a class of drivers in the case. And when they talk about this class of drivers, they're saying that the Uber, they can't get, the class can't get certified against them. So are we talking about actual, you know, when we talk about an employment test, misclassification, independent contractor versus employee, is it bigger or can it be limited in its findings?
No, what it's not, the reason it's not limited is because what they basically said is, if the employer, when they employ you, has you sign an arbitration agreement, that, in other words, that's an agreement that says, if I have a dispute with the employer, I'm going to take it to arbitration.
Right.
Then you cannot. So usually there's been lots of cases that have said, if you sue and you have an arbitration agreement, they can force you to arbitrate. But this was a class action involving a statute, a misapplication of a statute involving minimum wage. It wasn't about a particular workplace issue per se. And the court has basically said that if you're signed to an arbitration agreement, you can't be in a class action. And so if an employer like Uber, which signs everybody up to an arbitration agreement, the day you come in, if you want to work for them, you sign a bunch of papers, you don't even know what you sign.
Right.
And one of them says, I will arbitrate any claim. There's no more class action for you. That's it. So all the workers there, so the reason I was comparing it to unions is because it's just another form of a way to collectively assert people's rights. Because when you're one, you're small, you can't afford it, you can't afford the lawyer,
right,
you don't understand the system. When you're a larger group, you know, lawyers are willing to either take it on contingency or people can chip in money together and hire a lawyer together. So they basically eliminated that option, and they've
They haven't eliminated. They still could pursue individual arbitration, but obviously it's not going to be what you're talking about, the impact, and it's not going to necessarily address the status. And that's what I want to talk about after the break. We have to take a break, but we want to talk about the status of people like the gig economy, Uber drivers, and to your point that if they're losing this opportunity for unionization, losing the opportunity to be called, classified as an employee, what kind of rights are they going to have? So we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Mm-hmm.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Have you tried that trendy new dating app? You can have months of frivolous fun with people who just love to play games. But if you're ready for something more grown-up, try the Match app. Over 30,000 new people a day are heading to Match for grown-up conversations that lead to great dates and beyond. Our listeners that go to Match.com/mix will get 7 days free. 7 days to view photos and informative profiles to get a deeper sense of the people you'd like to meet. This free offer is only at Match.com/mix. That's Match.com/mix.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, you're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're talking to Arthur Schwartz, who's a labor and employment attorney in New York. And we are talking about the recent, just this past week, Uber decision, O'Connor versus Uber technology. Before the break, Arthur, I was talking about defining and classifying employees versus independent contractors. Here in California, we recently had a decision that earlier this year, Dynamics case, a Supreme Court decision, which changed the test for employee status, implementing the ABC test, which I think is used in other states, and replacing it, or not really replacing it, but really trumping the Borrello test that we used to classify employees by. How does the Dynamics case, how does that relate to this Uber decision? And is there any potential conflicts?
Well, you don't. So that test still exists for Uber employees. But instead of being able to test it in court or to test it as part of a group of employees, you're going to have to test it in front of an arbitrator. I mean, so these arbitration agreements don't mean you don't have any remedy. It just means that you have to take your statutory claim, the claim, I am an employee, I am not an independent contractor, to an arbitrator who will then have to apply the same law that the courts would apply.
Right.
It's better. And of course, an arbitrator's finding for one person is not necessarily binding on the next person or binding on the next person, which is different than the court system, where generally if a company loses on an issue, they're stuck. So it makes it easier for Uber to win, makes it each person who wants to test that has to go and start their own arbitration, probably hire a lawyer. So the right is there. The ability to enforce it is harder. That's the consequence of O'Connor.
Isn't it true, though, if you implement the ABC test under Dynamics, that Uber's going to be stuck? I mean, how do they show that they're not participating in the business for which they are practicing their business? I mean, you're driving a car, and that's the business of Uber. So under the ABC test and a Dynamics case, aren't they going to be an individual, as you've interestingly pointed out, aren't they going to prevail?
If now I don't have the Uber driver's agreement in front of me, But I would say that each worker in their individual arbitration in front of an arbitrator should prevail. Now, Uber may try to stick something in their arbitration agreement, and I've seen these for hire vehicle arbitration agreements, which the employers are constantly changing them to add new terms, or you're waiving
right.
Your rights under a certain, maybe they'll have them waive their rights under this ABC test. And waivers of rights are going to be easier to argue for an employer to get enforced in front of an arbitrator than in front of a judge, particularly in California, where workers' rights are pretty strongly enforced by the court system, if you can get there.
But isn't it against public policy to be waiving rights? In fact, what you're doing is you're trying at the time when someone is registering or applying for employment or has agreed to employment, that you're trying to get around the law. I mean, you know, I practice workers' compensation law, and I advocate on behalf of the individuals. I go crazy when I see companies provide contracts waiving rights that are legal rights. And I don't understand how companies can get away with that.
Well, unfortunately, that's going back to how the Supreme Court has been changing its approach on this. A lot of state courts have said that there are many rights that workers can waive through contracts. And it would not be surprising to me if we continue in the same direction that the courts uphold contracts as something where you can waive what might be your right under the law, because that's what a contract is. You're basically saying, you know, in return for doing this for me, I waive this this right. That's something that I'm not sure what the status of it is in California. I know in New York, in a union contract, a union can waive certain overtime rules or wage and hour rules in return in the collective bargaining agreement. The courts have ruled that because there's a conflict between, you know, your ability to collectively bargain and the right. When it's one individual and how, you know, this whole notion of arbitration agreements being, you know, these not contrary to public policy agreements, like there's an equal option on the part of the worker to sign this for the employer to give the employment. It is really not an equality of
right.
position between the employer
absolutely
and
not.
The worker. And, you know, to say that these contracts are fairly entered into, but even there, I believe in the course of this whole O'Connor litigation, from reading some of the decisions, even that issue has kind of disappeared in the course of this O'Connor case.
Yeah.
They ruled that the contract was not violative of public policy.
Well, you know, you sometimes wonder why those rulings take place. Maybe it's the money interests who are prevailing. But before we close, I want you to talk a little bit about why it's important, or why it was important in terms of employee benefits for Uber drivers and other gig economy workers to not be able to be classified as employees.
Right. So if you're an employee, there are laws in California and in every state, and there are federal laws that say employees are entitled to minimum wage. Employees are entitled to FMLA. Employees are entitled to form a union. Employees are entitled to various other protections under the law. There's a pregnancy discrimination law. It all applies to people with the title in the statute, employee. So if you're not an employee and you're a contractor, then your rights totally arise in the contract, unless the states start passing things that say in a contract it must say X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But it doesn't. So if you're in a gig and it's a contract and you're not an employee, the rights you have are the rights that are on that piece of paper that you sign. And if the piece of paper you sign doesn't say you get paid vacation, or it doesn't say that you get overtime, or if it doesn't say you get sick leave.
Don't forget about workers' compensation benefits.
And workers' comp is only available to employees. Now, the workers' comp in some states, the one area that I know in New York, they will not let people waive their rights under the workers' compensation law. The courts here, at least, or the agency here, will say that only the workers' compensation board can decide whether there was a valid waiver. If you practice in that area, I don't know if those yeah. are, if you have to do a workers' comp claim through an arbitration.
No, no, it goes through the workers' compensation appeals board.
But you know why they do that?
Why?
Because workers' compensation is actually a way for employers to get out of larger amounts of liability. Because generally, because there's workers' compensation, in return for that, the ability to recover is often far lower than
Absolutely.
If you
it's called the grand bargain, and we've run out of time, but I appreciate you finishing up on that note, because bottom line is insurance companies, employers are getting richer, profiting, and it's in the worker and the what I consider the employee in some of these situations are really getting screwed. Arthur Schwartz, I want to thank you very much for being on Gervie's Law and enlightening us on this Uber case and on this misclassification issue.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Have a good day. Well, that's going to do it for Gervie's Law today. Carrie, thanks. Mm-hmm. I know you were quiet for the last 20 minutes.
When you get into legalese and all the stuff I can't, I'm looking, I just let you go.
All right, well, we got to let you go. Thanks for listening.